You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Wednesday, October 21st, 8:05 Central Time. That means it is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone today, the Reverend James Keltner from Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Lewisburg, Kansas. Good morning, Pastor Keltner.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, and you, sir?
I'm great.
Good, good. It's a good morning to study God's Word together, isn't it?
You betcha. It's a beautiful day.
Looking forward to it. We're going to take a look in Matthew chapter 15 here in just a little bit. Tell us about your congregation, Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Lewisburg, Kansas.
Christ Our Savior was a mission plant. I came here about 12 years ago. There was no church in Lewisburg, and planted the church. And it's been a fun place to be and an awesome group of people. We're a bedroom community of Kansas City, just south of Overland Park, about 20 miles. And so we have a lot of people that live here in Lewisburg and drive up to Kansas City area to work. And so it's kind of nice to have a congregation in the community, very active in the community and very active in the local area. And I have a lot of people that work in emergency service and fire, because I do that. And they come to church here, and it's a great church to be, fun group of people, and have an opportunity to share God's Word in different places, and that's always an awesome thing. So,
well, thanks be to God for the good news of Jesus proclaimed in Lewisburg, Kansas, and the saints gathering around the good gifts there. Pastor, we are studying Matthew chapter 15 this morning, verses 21 through 39. What would you like for us to know as we prepare to study this text?
One of the things that you notice, if you start kind of look contextually, Jesus, John the Baptist has been beheaded. He's really, if you read John, that's his public ministry is really beginning. But in Matthew, there's been so many miracles and so many positive things that have happened. And so people, the crowds are gathering and pressing on Jesus. And it is as if he is trying to get his disciples to a quiet place to for a Sabbath, a little rest. And also, so because he's got some important things he needs to know, them to know that he will be specifically that he will suffer and die and be crucified. And as he tries to get to the quiet place, the crowds press and people come and they won't let Jesus and his disciples get away. And first you have the Canaanite woman, and then the huge crowd that gathers on the at the quiet place on the side of the lake, far from any place they can buy food and get rest. And Jesus takes the time to teach and help them. And the disciples, I think, are looking for a quiet place to rest and regenerate. Truthfully, Jesus needs to tell them that he will die. And they don't get that because they're too busy caught up in all the hype and the excitement of the ministry. And it's a pretty powerful text. It's kind of a transitional text in one level where Jesus is trying to go get away and teach his disciples the truth that he will suffer and die. And the crowds really won't let him. So it's but God has a plan, and I think all of this works to his glory and good. So it's amazing when you read it.
Well, let's take a look. We're in Matthew chapter 15 today, verses 21 through 39, studying with Pastor James Keltner from Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church, Lewisburg, Kansas. If you have a question or a comment along the way, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727 is the toll-free number, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. Let's take a look. Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 39. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. Jesus went away from there, withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon, and, so as you mentioned a little bit ago, this brings us to Tyre and Sidon. What do we know about this area, this region?
We know that it's kind of on the edge of Israel. It's a ways out, and it's kind of a getaway place. Boy, you know more about it than I do, I'm sure. But it's a place where Jesus is trying to get away from the crowds and the pressing on the crowds. It's kind of on the borderlands. That's why the Canaanite woman is there. It's not in the central core and stuff. But I know that it's a region where Jesus takes his disciples, and it's kind of borderline region, and that's where he goes to find a place for them to get away. So
he's looking for a quiet place, going away to a quiet place. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon."
Well, and that's Canaanites are, they're the ones that were occupying the land of Israel when Moses brought the children of Israel back. And God said, destroy them. Don't leave them here, because if you leave them here, they will bring in their false gods and their false worship. The nation Israel is kind of immature in their faith. And so God said, take out all those that worship the Baals and the false gods. And the Canaanite woman represented that worship of false gods and the false religion that was in the area. And so the Jews had looked with scorn on the Canaanites, and yet this woman is there crying out to Jesus for healing. Her words are, "Lord, have mercy," or and that's a very, that's what we say in our worship, "Lord, have mercy." It demonstrates who she is. She understands her brokenness. She understands her need, and she trusts that God will have mercy, that this Jesus can do something, and it's a very powerful statement, I believe. So.
And what is it she's asking? She has a daughter who is severely oppressed by a demon.
Yeah, that's don't know details what that looks like, but demon possession is something that we see throughout Scripture. It's horrifying affliction. The young man's son was thrown into the fire. Throughout Scripture we see this, and she is a mom. As a parent, we hurt for our children. We want our children to be whole and healthy and well, and she is. She's desperate, whatever she can do to find to help her child. And she sees Jesus as someone who can help and heal. And so you can feel her pain for her child. And this demon possession was probably horrifying. And so she's trying to find healing and help. I think we cry out a lot in our brokenness, "God help me, have mercy." So it's a pretty powerful statement she makes.
His response: "He did not answer her a word, and his disciples came and begged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she is crying out after us.'"
Yeah, and everybody thinks he's really harsh and cruel and cold-hearted, but the truth is he came to the Canaanites. He didn't come to save the Canaanites. He came to seek and save the nation of Israel. And, her request is, that's not who he came to save. He does this also for his disciples. They need to see that, not to show his cruelty or his disinterest, but to show them that, because really what happens here, he gets bigger. He opens the way to Gentiles, and there's been other places, there will be other places where he will do this, but part of the learning of his disciples is that Jesus didn't just, he came to seek and save the lost sheep of Israel, but he also came as a savior of all the nations. And so we see that some of the transition here. And Jesus is, he's doing what his father called him to do, to save the nation Israel, the lost sheep of Israel. And so he does not respond to this woman.
He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me."
Again, her concern for her child and really trusting that this man can do something. This is not just an ordinary prophet. This is not just an ordinary man. The commentators believe that, this demonstrates her faith, that she has faith in the Christ, the Son, the Savior. And so she is unwilling and undeterred in her persistence and her desire to speak to Christ, and she just will not be turned away, and her persistence is very powerful. We see that persistent widow. There's other examples of that. Sometimes we are kind of easily dissuaded when someone doesn't do things immediately or respond the way we think they should, and this woman's persistence, her trust that God can help is amazing, remarkable. Jesus even lifts her up later. So.
And so he came only for Israel. She came and knelt before him. Lord, help me. Is this verse 25? Is this similar to when we say Kyrie
eleison? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, you know, we come before God and in our brokenness, our emptiness, our realizing our sinfulness, total depravity. You know, I don't think, you know, as I look around, a lot of other denominations, a lot of churches, I talk to people, and they don't teach that utter depravity, that reality and consequence of sin. We are, by our own merits, works, or deeds, we can't stand before the throne of God with any hope or any. It's solely by his grace that we're saved. And this woman recognizes her total hopelessness and helplessness, and she the only place she can find help, the only place there is comfort is through this Jesus who has done the miraculous things, the healings, he's demonstrated his power. And she's heard, and she trusts, she relies totally on his mercy and grace. And there's a great lesson for all of us that's where we really need to be. And I love the liturgy of our church, Kyrie, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy. Say it three times, Trinitarian, and it's so powerful that that's who we are. That's what we say about our God. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. He will deliver. He is strong to save. It's not about us. It's about him. And it's very powerful.
Here's the interesting thing. And he answered, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs.
Yeah, and he uses the word in the Greek is the little house dogs. You know, I don't know if you have children, but I have children and have a dog, and my grandson is very, very generous by, you know, the dogs at the table, and he shares the grandson's food, and that's what the words Jesus uses is that, and a lot of people are offended by that. You know, he's calling her a dog. Well, you know, he's really saying that he's given her a little light of hope, a glimmer that there is, you know, she's a house dog. You can throw it to the, there is, and for her, she grasped that. That's what she hangs on to, that he says it is not right to take it to the house dogs, but she says, even the house dogs, you know, and she goes on to say, even the house dogs eat from their master's table. And, you know, the children do that. And it's so she takes that and she grasps on that very thin sliver of hope. And Jesus opens the door a crack. And I think it's deliberate. Well, God does things. He knows his plan. But she grasps hold of that and she builds on that, trusting that God will, that this Jesus will take care of her. And it's a very powerful thing that she can hang on to. And she climbs on it. She's unwilling to back off because, again, her daughter is sick. She wants her daughter healed. This is where she comes for comfort and strength and hope, and she will not be turned away.
Hmm. She said, yes, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table.
We do that with our pets. I don't know. I never like to have pets in the house, but my kids think that's important. So we have pets we have a dog in the house, and now my son scolds me because he shouldn't eat that stuff, Dad. So I don't know. He's an adult, so he gets concerned with his. He says his dog's eating the wrong thing. So, but she knows that dynamic. That dynamic was probably true in that culture too. That the dogs, the family pets were in the house. I'm sure, you know, that did happen. Culturally, we know that. And so the dogs would eat the crumbs. And she's also saying that the crumbs will be enough. I think she understands who this Jesus is. She understands that the power of the God of Isaac, Abraham, and Jacob, the Israelites' God, and she trusts that the crumbs, even the crumbs, will be enough for her and her daughter. And that's, it's a faith. It's a trust. It's a submission to the rule and reign of God. And maybe that's I'm making too much of it, but I don't think so. I think she really, you know, she's searching for something, and there is Jesus is an answer. He brings a hope. that you can't find anywhere else. And I think that's what we share as people of God, that in Christ there is hope, in Christ there is an answer that you can't find anywhere else. There's a truth that's bigger than what the world says and what the world gives. And this woman is grasping to that, and she holds on to that with all she has.
Jesus' response, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly.
Yeah, Jesus lifts her up for that tenaciousness, that trust, that reliance, and her daughter is healed. And that's a powerful thing, because God will take care, and God will provide, and He will deliver. And, you know, we got to cling to Him. We got to rely solely on His power and promise. And the woman understands that. And, you know, in our world, if that's, is Christ the first place we go? Is God the first place we go? Or is it the last thing we do when everything else is unraveled? And everything else is unraveled for her, and she goes to Christ, and He gives her a hope and a peace. And I think as God's children, when we come to worship, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, we do that Sunday after Sunday, and it is a submission to the rule and reign of Christ in our life. It is a trust that He will deliver, and He is strong to save. And our hope is not in who we are or the world, but our hope is solely in what Christ has done for us on the cross. And when Jesus lifts that up, Jesus recognizes that, man. He will deliver, and He will heal, and He will be as strong to save. This is an amazing story of the power and the presence of God in our lives, in her life, and mm-hmm. I think also in our lives.
Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Jesus sees this as faith. O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. Pastor, anything else about the up through verse 28 before we take a break?
No, I think, like I say, it's a very powerful statement of who we are and who she is. She's broken, she's lost, and who God is. He heals the broken and the lost and lifts us up. And it's God's grace and very powerful manifest way. Mercy ministry, I guess, is what we'd call it. So.
We're studying the Daily New Testament reading with Pastor James Keltner from Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Lewisburg, Kansas. We're in Matthew chapter 15 today. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to His Time.
Worldwide KFUO, your most trusted radio station for Christian talk and sacred music. Listen on the air, online, and on demand 24 hours a day at KFUO.org. Listen anywhere you are with your Wi-Fi radios, smartphones, computers, and even on your smart TVs. KFUO embracing today's technologies to bring the good news message of Christ to the world. Listener-supported worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. We are studying the Daily New Testament reading with Pastor James Keltner from Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Lewisburg, Kansas. We're in Matthew chapter 15 today, about ready to pick up at verse 29. That sound good, Pastor?
That sounds great.
All right, here we go. Jesus went on from there and walked beside the Sea of Galilee, and He went up on the mountain and sat down there. Great crowds came to Him, bringing with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and they put them at His feet, and He healed them, so that the crowd wondered when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled healthy, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they glorified the God of Israel. So Jesus went on from there, walked beside the Sea of Galilee, went up on the mountain, sat down there. There were great crowds that gathered around Him.
Everywhere He goes, He draws a crowd because it's, you know, and you know, I can't imagine the pressure that would be, you know, when you just everywhere you go, there's people that want to get close to you, touch you, heal you. And like I say, the brokenness of the world we live in is, and the way he lived in, there was his power, his, he told us, you know, every time he healed somebody, he said, don't tell anybody about this. And he did that probably because they didn't understand the full picture, the full scope of what he was going to do, but also because of this, you know, it was hard to do anything with the crowds pressing around for healing. In my ministry, I've seen people go all over the world to try to find healing or help for their family or their family members or friends, anything we can do to make things some better, to fix the ones we love. And that's who these people are. They're trying to find health and healing. This Jesus has great power, and it's recognized. And they give glory to the God of Israel. That's an important thing, too, there, that they recognize who the giver is, you hope, and they're giving glory and praise to God of Israel. It sounds like that in the text, and that's really where truth lies as well. It's the God of Israel that does these things. It is the true God that heals and gives us hope. So
the word about him spread. Great crowds came to him, bringing all their lame, blind, crippled, mute, and many others at his feet. So that the crowd wondered when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled healthy, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. Pastor, anything else about these three verses, 29 through 31?
No, just that this is what the Old Testament said would be, this would be the recognizing marks of the Messiah. When the Messiah would come, the Savior would come, these would be signs that would be manifest in the time of in the Messianic age. And so, you know, Jesus demonstrates that he is the fulfillment of God's promises. He is the one who comes as Messiah to save the nation of Israel. So that's all tied into that, too, as you go back and look at the Old Testament. So that's a very powerful statement about who Jesus is. He is the Savior.
Very good. Let's take a look at the next section here, verses 32 through 39. Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days, and I have nothing to eat, and I am unwilling to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. And the disciples said to him, where are we to get enough bread in such a desolate place to feed so great a crowd? And Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? They said, 7 and a few small fish. And directing the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 7 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. Those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. And after sending away the crowds, he got into the boat and went to the region of Magadan. All right, so he called the disciples to him and said, I have compassion on the crowd because they've been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, but I will not send them away hungry lest they faint on the way.
Yeah, he cares about them. He knows the needs of the people. He knows that they haven't eaten. He recognizes this need, and we prayed in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. You know, God will provide. First article of Apostles' Creed, you know, God makes me and all creatures and daily provides me with all I need to sustain this body and life. So it is who God is. He takes care of his children. He takes care of his, he reigns on the just and the unjust alike. So all those things are tied into this, that he sees their need. He knows their hunger. He will not leave them to starve or die. And so it's because, and again, that goes back to that beautiful word, compassion. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. It's who our God is. He loves us. He cares for us. And so he will provide for our needs. And that's an important thing. You know, when we talk about, do we really trust God to provide for all our needs, our daily bread, and do we give him thanks and praise him for the gifts he gives us? But here we see Jesus very clearly saying he sees their need, and he says, let's take care of them. That's what God does. He takes care of his people.
So this is more than just good manners.
No, it's more than just good. It's about a gracious, loving God taking care of his precious children. And I think so. I believe that that's, it really it is bigger than just good manners and not sending away the guest home hungry. You read the other accounts of this, and the disciples are pretty quick to, let's send them away hungry. You know, we can't feed these people. Send them away, and maybe they can find something somewhere else. And Jesus is not very patient with them when that happens.
All right. Let's see. So the disciples said to him, where are we to get enough bread in such a desolate place to feed so great a crowd?
Yeah, they don't. And then they realize that it's going to take more resources than they have. There's no, and it's a miracle. I mean, that's why, you know, a lot of people try to explain this. Well, maybe there was, you know, somebody had a stash of groceries somewhere that they didn't know about, or there was a, you know, quick trip down the road or whatever. I don't know. But there was, you know, there are a lot of people that try to explain this. And, you know, you hear the disciples, they don't have enough. There's no way they can feed this group of people with what they physically have. And so it really testifies to the reality and the power of God and the miraculous feeding of 5,000. It was a miraculous feeding. It's an amazing thing that happens here. So.
And so Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? They said 7 and a few small fish.
Yeah, 7 loaves and 2 small fish. The other account says 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but 7. There are 7. And 2 fish, and 7 is a, you know, whole number. It's that's fascinating when you start looking at numbers. There's a lot of people that spend a lot of time looking at numbers, but 7 is it's a complete or whole number. So that's we have 7 and 2, and that's all we got, and that's all there is. And what's amazing is we stand before our God, and we look at I know that we look at our world, and it's just there's so many that seem not to know Christ, and the world seems to be more and more apathetic and antagonistic toward Christ and Christianity. And I think this lesson tells us that, you know, 7 and 2, if we bring what we have, we lay it before the throne of God, and God will multiply that and use it to accomplish his purpose. And we really need to trust, and we need to rely on him, and we need to know that he will take care of us. He will provide for our needs. And 7 and 2, that's, you know, and Jesus looks at that and says, well, that's not bad, you know. We can do this. And we look at 7 and 2 and we go, there's no way. So that's who our God is. He's an amazing God.
And directing the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. So 7 fish?
Yeah.
I'm 7 loaves and fish.
Yeah, and 7 loaves and fish, yeah. And then, like I say, he, you know, he has them sit on the ground. He has the disciples, you know, take this and break. And well, the breaking of the bread, again, we, as Lutherans, we kind of grasp on that because it's reminds us of on the night our Lord was betrayed. He took bread and broke it. You know, it feeds us. It strengthens us. It strengthens our faith. It's a means of grace. But this is really a physical healing, and everybody. Again, the distributors are important. The disciples, they distribute. The people gather around orderly. And I think, you know, as we gather around the Word of God and the sacrament minister of his church, he provides, he strengthens us, he empowers us, he equips us. And that's so, you know, it goes back to Kyrie eleison. Worship is so much a part of where we grow and in our relationship to our God and are strengthened. Not just to stay faithful in our homes, but to go out into the world and it looks like we're facing overwhelming odds, but with the Word and the sacrament and God's power of Spirit, there's nothing that is impossible for God's people to accomplish in his name. So,
and they all ate and were satisfied, and they took up 7 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. Those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. And after sending away the crowds, he got into the boat and went to the region of Magadan. So they all ate. They were full. They were satisfied.
Yeah, and they even got their seed back. You know, I worked in a lot of rural communities and stuff, and everybody said, Pastor, it's so dry, we won't even get our seed back. And that was, you know, you always thought that, you know, if you had something to plant for next year. Not only do they feed the 5,000, I mean, the group that's gathered there, but they also... you know, they get what they had to start with. And I think there's a great stewardship message in that for us as God's children. You know, God is a giver of all good things. He provides for all our needs. Everything we have is a gift of God. And we bring our first fruits to God, and he will bless us. He will use that to accomplish his purpose. And, you know, sometimes we think we got to take care of ourselves or protect what we have. We become miserly. Sometimes we feel like we're too poor. We don't have anything to share. But there's very little here, and God uses it to accomplish his purpose. And I think as Christians, we need to be very confident that God will use us to accomplish his purpose and take what we have, no matter how meager or small, and multiply it, use it to accomplish his purpose. And we'll always keep our faith will do nothing but grow and get stronger when we do that. So.
And, you know, that's a pretty big crowd, 4,000 men. And, you know, besides women and children, that's pretty big catering service.
Yeah, you can multiply that by, you know, maybe four or five, something. You know, it depends on which report you read, how many you just, it's just the men. He talks about the men, and he multiplies that. So you're talking 25,000 people, and you know, even 15,000 people, it would be a monumental nightmare to feed that many people in a desolate place with no, you know, even, you know, you go to some rural event here in the United States and you try to cater for that many people, it would be a catering nightmare, a monumental thing, and God provides for all the needs of all the people in that place because he's God, you know.
And after sending away the crowds, he got into the boat and went on to the region of, is it Magadan?
Yeah, Magadan. He's trying to, like I say, he's still trying to move down the path, trying to find a place where he can spend some face time with his disciples. And I mean, all of this, God, you know, God brings people into the path. The woman, the Canaanite woman, she's there because God placed her there. They're going, you know, to the quiet place. And all these, as he demonstrates the power, his power, and his, then the disciples need to begin to resonate, but they still miss the point of his death and resurrection. They still miss that. And as you know, as I read this, the scripture, I think that sometimes in our world, we miss it's the theology of the cross. And in our world, we don't hear the theology of the cross, that Christ suffers and dies for us, and that sanctifies our suffering. But we love the miracles. I love the miracles, and it is a miracle. And I really believe God can take care of us and will provide for us. And we bring our first fruits humbly to his throne, and he uses them and multiplies them and does marvelous things. And these lessons today show us the tenacity of the Canaanite woman and then the power of God to provide for the needs of those who are hungry and empty, and God will provide. So,
anything else looking over the text as a whole? Anything else you'd like for us to learn today, Pastor?
No, unless somebody's got questions or something. it's amazing. I mean, when you read the Bible and you study, and it's my great privilege to do this for 35 years. You know, you study the Bible every day and you work, you know, on a sermon, but it's more of just his power is manifest in so many ways, and his power is staggering. And you know, and but then that's not my kids grew up in public schools, and we went Concordias, but you know, do they understand, you know, who they need to rely on, the power and the providence of God, and how he will provide? And we need to trust him even in suffering and pain and sorrow. He is there to deliver and strong to save. So
thanks be to God. We've been studying the Daily New Testament Reading with Pastor James Keltner from Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Lewisburg, Kansas. Pastor Keltner, thanks for being our guest and helping us study in Matthew chapter 15 today.
Well, thank you for having me, Andy, and God bless you and your family.
Thank you. The Lord bless you and all the saints there at Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Lewisburg, Kansas. Coming up in just a little bit, Witness Wednesday with the Reverend Mark Wood. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.